Let me say something about courtship or dating. If they don't treat you right in dating, if they're mauling you and all those horrible things, that's wrong, that's sin. Listen, if they won't treat you right in the courtship, they're not going to treat you right in the marriage.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you for tuning in. Pastor Bill is currently teaching from the Old Testament book, Song of Solomon. Today, he concludes the message, True Courtship. Let's listen in now.
Well, what I'm trying to say is this. If you really love the Lord, then you'll love her the right way. And the problem is today is so many people don't know how to love the Lord. They just say, well, I'm just oversexed or I'm this or that. No, the Bible tells us what to do. It says, flee sexual immorality. Run from it with all of your heart. And this woman, I like her. I love her. She says, I love you, buddy. I want to be with you the rest of my life, but I'm not going to lower my standards. I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard. You marry someone and you do it the wrong way. It's hard to be intimate after you're married with that person who doesn't respect you. Do you understand? I mean, ladies, if your husband, and God forbid, I know this is probably not happening and I pray it isn't, but if your husband is demeaning you, speaking evil about you, cutting you down, you know, treating you like dirt, that's a real turn on, isn't it? I mean, it makes you just want to run to the bedroom, right? No. It hurts you. It demeans you. Listen, it's hard to respect those who are not tender with you. And you can share the same house. You can share that same king-size bed. You can sit at the same dinner table and not even know the person that you married any longer. Why? Well, there are many reasons. But the reasons so that marriages that last, you know how they last? Is that each mate continues to desire to grow in Christ-likeness. Meaning Jesus Christ is the Lord of your marriage. And the other thing is that you must have a servant's heart for each other if you want it to last, if you want it to continue growing. Let me ask you a question, men. See, you know as well as I do, so many people, especially men, before you were married to her, you couldn't do enough for her. Man, you combed your hair. You know, you dressed nice. You know, you opened the car door and you were so understanding. And then after marriage, you started drawing lines. You started saying, oh, I don't do that anymore. It's your job or whatever. What happened to that tenderness? Where did it go? Well, you stopped growing in your marriage. You stopped being kind. You no longer help her clean up after dinner or maybe even clean the house, God forbid. You know what I'm saying? Listen, and you're no longer maybe a good listener. Remember how you used to just talk and talk and talk? Listen, the number one cause for divorce in the church today, well, the number two is money. You know what the number one reason for divorce in the church today is? You ready? Communication. You used to talk to me. You'd call me. You'd talk to me forever. Now we don't talk anymore. You're consumed with what you do. You're consumed with your ministry. You're consumed with your job, or you're consumed with the Dallas Cowboys, and you're consumed with this. But you know, we don't talk anymore. We talk like caveman talk. Well, you know what that is? Hello. Goodbye. Any mail today? What time is dinner? That's caveman talk. That's grunting. You know what I mean? That's no emotional talk. When you talk is when you look into their eyes and you talk to them and you love one another. You're intimate with one another. Amen? And that's what is so needed. And now Solomon comes in verse 8 and he says this. He says, if you do not know, O fairest, in other words, you're so beautiful. That's what that word means. Most beautiful among women. Follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd tents. In other words, if you don't know, what is he saying? He said, I have to take care of business. I am the king, you know, and I have to be gone because see, he's answering the question in verse 7. Said, where are you? She wanted to know where he was. And so he's busy. That we could really make an application right here about marriage. Listen, because Solomon is saying, you know what? If your palace life is not going to agree with you, we better not. This courtship, maybe we should end it, because even though we love one another, it's not going to work. You know, I tell you something, before you marry a person, you ought to count the cost. I told my wife, I said, I am going to be in full-time ministry. Can you handle it? Will you go with me? Of course, today she'd say, I should have shot myself, you know. But you know, when you're in love, you know what she said? Yes, I'll go. You know, we're crazy. Now, I've compared you, my love, to my mare or filly. I've compared you, my love, and this Solomon's talking to her now. I've compared you, my love, to my filly among Pharaoh's chariots. Now, this verse always moves my wife when I quote it to her. Moves her far away from me. I've never called her my filly. And I've definitely never used the word mare. But in Solomon's time, that was like, you're the cat's meow. Man, you're so special to me. In other words, he wasn't saying she looked like a horse. That's not what she was. Listen, and he was a lover of horses. He had over 12,000 of them. You remember? But that wasn't it. He was saying, it's your strength. It's your inner strength. It's your beauty. It's your gratefulness. He says, you are a knockout. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. When you look at this, you should make some application here. What was he doing? He was building her up. How? By speaking good things to her. And boy, I'm going to talk about that before we close out. But look, go to verse 10 quickly. It says, your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with chains of gold. You know, listen, Solomon was a talker, wasn't he? I mean, he's smooth. I mean, when is the last time you said something like that to your wife? You know, honey, I'll tell you, your earrings set upon your cheeks are just knocking me out. I've never talked like that. But that's what he was saying here. He was saying, oh, your cheeks, oh, your neck, oh, baby, baby. That's what he was doing. And then the daughters of Jerusalem closed in. They said, hey, we'll make you ornaments of gold with studs of silver. And then the Shulamite comes in and says, while the king is at his table... Now, this is the wedding banquet before the wedding, okay? So while the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. Now, remember, spikenard was only found in the Himalayas, remember, in India? Very rare, very expensive, very precious. It's a most fragrant of all perfumes. And she's saying it sends forth its fragrance. And then watch this. She says, a bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me. That lies all night between my breast. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blooms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Boy, I don't know if I want to touch that or not. Listen, I mean, she's laying it on him. Listen, here's what they would do. The Hebrew women of that day, they would make a bag, a pouch, if you will, and the day before the wedding, or maybe even 2 days before the wedding, they would now put this pouch of spikenard, this fragrance, this perfume, between their breasts. They would hang it right there. And they would sleep with it. And when they showed up for the wedding banquet and the day of the wedding, they were just reeking with this beautiful fragrance. And wherever she went, the beautiful aroma. And so what she's saying here is that a bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me. And when I read that, I asked myself a question. You know, men, I wrote it just like this. I said, men, are we a pound of myrrh to our wife? What type of fragrance are we to our wives? I mean, you know, are we the fragrance of Christ? Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. I want to be the fragrance of Christ to my wife. And, you know, the question is, do you want to be? And I think that's something all of us want to do. And listen to me, I'm going to say something. Don't court anyone, don't marry anyone that doesn't smell like Jesus. Amen? And that's so important. And now the beloved Solomon comes in, he says, oh, behold, you are beautiful. You are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. Do you see that? The candlelight dinner, they're in the banquet hall, and the table is full of food. They're looking into each other's eyes. The wedding day is drawing close. The wedding day is in chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, by the way, if you want to read it later. But they're overcome with the suntan and the fragrance, and now she has dove eyes. This guy's, he's good, you know? And she says, behold, you are handsome, my beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green, and the beams of our houses are cedar, and our rafters of fir. Well, what is she talking about? She's not talking about the bridal chamber. You know where they are? She's either daydreaming, she's talking about the future. She's outside. They're having a picnic. Because when it says there, our bed is, our couch literally is green, it's talking about being out there for a picnic, if you will, lying on the grass, and they're looking up at the trees and all of the branches, and look what she's excited about. Note what she says about herself now in chapter 2, verse 1. She says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. Did you notice something different about this? All of a sudden, there's a change in her heart. See, before she says, I know I'm suntanned. I know that I work out in the fields. I know that all these ladies are staring at me. And I know that I'm a country girl. I'm not one of the privileged that's there in the court. But I have character and I have honor and I know who I am in God. I love Jehovah God, she's saying. But now she says, I am something else. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily, and look, the word valleys, plural, the lily of the valleys. What is she saying? She's saying this. You know what? She's saying, I'm a beautiful flower. And a lily is singular. It's, in other words, they come up one at a time. She says, I am the singular lily in your life. What's happened? Solomon has told her about his love for her. And now she realizes that she is the most important person in his life. Men, let me ask you a question. Women, let me ask you a question. Husband, wife, is your spouse the most important person in your life? Of course, besides Jesus Christ. But after Christ, that priority, is your spouse the most important person in your life? When people come to fulfill their ministry at Calvary Chapel and come on staff here, it is a rule of mine, a priority. I tell them, here's the priority list. God, your family, than the church. And if you neglect your family, then you should not be working here, because you can't neglect your family and take care of the family of God. Amen? Amen. You can't do that. You must love your family, nurture your family, take care of your wife. Man, you've got to love your wife, pray with your wife, pray over your wife, speak good things. And that's what Solomon was doing. He was speaking good things to her, and she sees herself in a whole new light. Why? Because of his words. Listen to me, men. When you praise your wife, she feels secure. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:28 about the virtuous woman, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Now listen, and her husband also, he does something. He praises her. May I say something? And I don't mean this as a criticism, but I take note of a man that speaks rudely to his wife, or who doesn't take care of his wife. I take note of that man, and then I pray for that man. When I see a man that demeans his wife in the church or talks down to her, I take note of that man. There's no place for a Christian husband, or if in courtship, for a man or a woman to demean one another. It is of the devil. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. Satan wants you to demean one another. He wants you to destroy one another. Why do you think there's so much filth on TV? Listen, the world doesn't know anything about sex. All they know is animal sex, man. They don't know anything about godly relationships. They don't know anything about it. Look what they have on TV. Listen, why? Satan wants to destroy marriages. He wants to destroy young girls before they're ever married and young men before they're ever married. He wants you to lose your virginity. He wants you to live like the world. He wants you to have guilt. God wants you to save yourself for one man, one woman, and then be with them forever and ever and ever. That's God's perfect plan for all of us. And look what he says. He says, sustain me, or she says, sustain me with cakes of raisins. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. Well, this is heavy, isn't it? What is this? Sustain me, refresh me, for I am lovesick. In other words, I am overwhelmed with love. You've heard that expression, they're living off love? Well, that's where it came from, probably right here. And raisin cakes and apples, what are they? They're ancient symbols of sexual passion. She's saying, listen, there's nothing wrong. Let me say something to you. There's probably a bunch of Victorians in here. You're going to send me an email, but I love you anyway. Don't get mad at me. Hugh Hefner did not create sex. God did. God created intimacy. He created the feelings that you feel. God created that. And there is nothing wrong or dirty or anything when it comes to sex within the confines of marriage. Amen? God created, He wants you to enjoy one another. And that's what she's saying. She's saying, I'm just in love with you. I can't wait till my wedding night. I want you. I'm lovesick. I want you so much. And she's talking, folks, about, she's talking about the bedroom, okay? Is that wrong to say in church? God forbid we have children here. How do you think they got here? The stork. Santa Claus brought them. And look at verse 6. My goodness. Now look what she says. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. I don't need to be graphic here, do I? Listen, her mind is drifting forward to when? To the wedding night. This is a picture of intimacy between one another. That passion of love that God's created for us within the confines of marriage. Now look at the key verse of this scripture, our last verse for tonight. She says, I charge you. I like that. You should underline that. Now, I charge you. And she's going to say this several times throughout these eight chapters. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem. Or we could even read it like this. I charge you, all young people at Calvary Chapel. By the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Now, listen to me. That's so important. What is she saying? She's saying, listen, first of all, let me back up. Did you notice something here? This is courtship. They're not yet married. Did you notice that she's not fighting off Solomon anywhere in Scripture? Do you understand? Solomon's not trying to take the woman to bed. He's not trying to have sex outside of the covenant of marriage. He hasn't touched her. Did you know up to this point, he has not even kissed her? Now, there's true courtship. What? Bill, you know, no kissing? Well, why don't you kiss on the day of your wedding? Bill, what century is this? No, I don't really care. Listen, can I say, why not make the first kiss that you ever have the one that you're going to marry forever and ever? You know when they say, well, do you know how to kiss? Uh-uh. I don't either. Well, I guess we're going to have to learn. Okay. Well, that excites me. What's wrong with us? Dating is a curse in our country. It's a curse. Courtship, God's way, is beautiful. Solomon hasn't even touched her, and she says to the ladies of Jerusalem, she said, listen, don't you become sexually active until the night of your wedding. She gives them a charge. What's she saying? She says, don't do it. Listen to me, young people, don't start a fire. You start courting and you start a fire. Let me tell you what, it gets hotter and hotter every time. And you start a fire and you have to put that fire out. And you know what happens? You say, I can't take it anymore. We're going to be married anyway. I mean, we love one another. What's wrong with it? It's just a piece of paper. No, it's a covenant with Almighty God where God does a miracle. You see, you're not one yet. You haven't been made one yet. He makes you one. Just like I tell people when I counsel in marriage, when before they're married, I say, listen, when you come up here and you stand up here with me, it's you and me and the Holy Spirit. And I said, the greatest miracle is when that's about to happen that nobody ever notices anymore is that God is going to make you one together, one flesh, two people with separate identities. God in His covenant makes them one. And I said, when you walk down these steps and face the people, you are taking the first steps together as one. It's never before happened. It's a miracle of God. Listen, you can say, well, Bill, you're old-fashioned. I wasn't old-fashioned as a teenager. I did all the wrong things. I failed. Didn't know any better. And that's the God's truth. I was wrong. And I look back at some of the things that I did, and I want you to know, folks, I regret it, but I didn't know. I know now, and I'll tell any parent, listen, you protect your children. If they're going to walk out that door with a young boy, I'll tell you what, you better know who that young boy is. And I'd protect my children. If I had little girls, I'd probably just shoot them at the door. Oh, he's dead. I'm a pastor. I marry and bury, so... Don't sell out. Don't let anyone touch you inappropriately. You wait until you stand before Almighty God. That's what this woman is saying. She's saying, no, she says, listen, I charge you. You maintain. In other words, maintain sexual purity. And it says, don't stir up that love or awaken love until it's time, until it pleases. You start that fire. I'm telling you, you're the one that's going to have to put it out, and it's awful difficult to do. Now, as I close tonight, we're going to talk about things that are intimate in this book. And God wants us to talk about these. I'm going to talk about marriage. But here's what I'd like to do, if the Lord allows me, every time I finish a chapter or wherever I have to end at, is that I want to make an application for you to do until the next time we come together next Wednesday night. And here's what I would like for you to do, and it's godly advice, because each of you, I would ask each of you, husband, wife, listen to me. This week, you have 7 days in front of you starting tonight. For the next 7 days, I want you to do something, and it's godly, okay? Here's what I want you to do. Speak good things one to another. Don't argue. Both of you, look into your eyes, into each other's eyes, and say, I love you. I'm in love with you. I've always been in love with you. I want you. I desire you. You're my woman. You're my husband. You're my wife. Thank God for you. I love you. Pray over one another. Touch one another. Spend time with one another. And reignite the passion and the flame that may have escaped you. Love one another while there's time. Care for one another. You have 7 days. Can you do that for just 7 days? Be kind and affectionate one to another. And men, listen to me. Why don't you look your best? You know what I mean? I mean, do you have a favorite shirt that you put on when you get home? I do. And my family hates it. Even now that there's dogs in my house, they even hate it. I'm not going to wear that shirt all week. Oh, that hurt. But I made a promise. Listen, let's love our mates. Amen? 7 days. I'm asking you, I'm calling you to make a covenant, to make a vow with me for the next 7 days that we practice intimacy verbally and any other way, one toward another, our spouses, and that we love them, encourage them, and lift them up. Matter of fact, I'm not going to do this, but you know, if you'll turn to chapter 7, men, of Solomon there. Just turn it real quick and let me see something here. Because most of you guys don't know how to talk to your wife anyway. Can I just show you something for a minute? Learn from Solomon, and I'm not going to get into it very deeply, but here he's talking to his wife because they're married now. And he goes in chapter 7, he says, how beautiful are your feet in sandals. Hey, I've never done that. And he says, oh, prince's daughter, the curves of your thighs are like jewels. I'm sweating. He said, the work of the hands of a skillful workman. He says, your navel is rounded goblet. Woo! And it lacks no blended beverage. He says, he's talking to his wife. He says, your waist is a heap of wheat. I don't know if that means it's the bread basket, but anyway. Set about with lilies, and your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, and your neck is like an ivory tower, and your eyes like pools of Heshbon. Oh, you guys, you can read it when you get home. And then the lady picks up after that. Listen, what am I saying? I'm saying this week, we're talking about courtship, we're talking about marriage, we're talking about loving one another, our spouses. You speak good things. Love one another. Be in love with one another. Make eye contact. If she's in there cooking, guys, walk in there and help her. Put your arms around her. Put on the apron and go in there and help her. Set the dinner table with her. Hold her hand and pray. Love one another. I'll tell you why. Love never fails.
Well, Pastor Bill will continue a study of Song of Solomon tomorrow with the message, The Little Foxes. And we'll look for you once again. We want to thank you for listening with us. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.